Blog Talk Radio.
Hey y'all, what's good? Welcome to Wake Up With Love. I am so glad you chose to start your morning with us today. This is a sacred space cultivated with spirit, heart, and purpose designed to support you in becoming the greatest expression of the massive blessing you came into this world to be. So let's get into it. Yes, yes. What is live, beautiful people? Let's take a deep breath and celebrate this opportunity to be together, that we're here with breath in our lungs, clear minds, functioning beings, ready to take on another beautiful day that's been gifted to us. So in all the beautiful names that we celebrate the divine, I just want to take a moment with gratitude and gratefulness for all that is, all that we are, all that we have. So beautiful folks, we're live today on Mondays. I don't know what Mondays is going to be yet. We're still trying to create the topic for Mondays. We'll do that as we come along. But I was just in a deep state of meditation this morning, and I got a beautiful message, and I want to share it with the people. But let's say hello to our co-host, Betsy Batista.
What's up?
She's back in the mountains. We're together again in Asheville, North Carolina, on the Courageous Heart Communal House grounds. The gold roof is now on the building, folks. We have crowned the vision, and we're ready to start helping the healing happen. So more to come on that. Definitely stay in touch with all the things we're putting out into the world. There's just so much good going to be radiating out of this nucleus of Goodness in Action Global Initiatives.
Yes, very exciting things.
So, beautiful people, the message for today is about giving notice. We've been talking about it. We've been alluding to it with other shows, but today we're going to kind of lock in on it. And we got it from Lisa Nichols. We got to stop asking permission from life, from our loved ones, from our community, from our workspaces, from the places that we patron to accept us or to want us, to want the full expression of us. And we got to give notice. We got to be ready to say, like it or not, this is who I am. This is what I'm up to. And this is what I'm creating in the world. And I know it's beautiful, whatever it is you're up to in the deep recess of the heart or in the actions that you're taking today, wherever you are in the process, on the journey. And so giving notice is a setting ourselves free, folks. There's such an inner turbulence that happens when we have to continually ask permission to show up, to be who we are. There's so many masks we have to wear. There's so many extra editing we have to do. There's so much more thought process we have to put into things to make sure that we're honoring the facade, the idea of what we think we should be, that creates a dissonance between that which we actually are when we are that. What are you thinking about that, Beth? What are you hearing in that?
Yeah, I'm just hearing show up authentically as fully as yourself.
And the thing that I got this morning is that the funny thing is that when you stop asking for permission and you give notice, you actually give people around you permission. That is the crazy thing in this. It's actually you begin to radiate permission to love yourself, to be yourself, to keep it real, to keep it 100, to show the scars. Which leads me to Michael B. White. Is that his name?
Was it Williams?
Michael B. Williams. He passed away. Big ups to going to glory. We lost a beautiful man, and I always enjoyed him in his shows, although he's in a lot of shows that I can't watch due to the violence, which made me sad because I really enjoyed his gift. But I watched him on an interview, a couple of them, in his passing, and he was just so incredibly willing to be present. Be present with the grandeur of his opportunities, the thankfulness, the gratefulness. The little boy in him was showing up, the creativity, the pain, the struggle, willingness to share authentically about childhood trauma, how we work through it, how we're still working through it, willing to show moments when you were, like, insecure around other great actors and people. And he just was just so well-rounded that you're like, that's a whole human being, just being in their experience. And it moved me deeply. And one of the things he was saying is that he had a huge scar on his face. And so he used to wear a baseball cap. And he'd hide out. He'd be hiding out in his baseball cap all the time. And then he saw Seal, the singer, come out. And Seal said on an interview that those were his scars. Those were his tribal scars or something, or his tribal wear with the scars on his face. And he was just unapologetically him. Seal is just Seal. He knows he's beautiful, and he wears it. And something about Seal giving notice, like, I am not going to be insecure about what makes me different. I'm going to celebrate it, and I'm going to rock it, gave Michael B. Williams permission to take his hat off and be like, fuck it, these are my tribal scars. This is, I grew up in a severely impoverished part of this country, and it was dangerous, and I wear this as a badge of my childhood and where I've come from. Mm-hmm. And he was able to own it. He was able to give notice, but Theo gave him permission to do that, and you'll do that as well. And the more I'm listening to people's interviews, I'm continually seeing how people are always anchoring back to impactful moments that were often no more than 5 to 10 seconds, where another person said or did something that exploded the limited idea of self that person was carrying and gave them an anchoring to a new experience, a new opportunity. And it didn't take long. You got up. Betsy got up. So I think
stood
up.
You got me to my feet.
I think you got something.
you're making me think, because my background is in theater and performance and the arts, and you'll hear a lot of people talk about the importance of representation, the importance of being able to see a representation of something that resonates with you outside of yourself or in a prominent place, because it helps you believe something is possible, right? So, like, I keep hearing stories from parents about how, I don't know if anyone is parents on the line, but there's a show called Doc McStuffin about a little African-American girl who is a doctor for her toys, and she makes them feel better. And I've heard so many stories of parents who they would take their black and brown skin babies, would take their kids to the doctor, and a light-skinned doctor would walk in, and they were like, this can't be a doctor. And they're like, why not? They're like, well, because doctors look like Doc McStuffins. They look like me. They look like people with dark skin. And that's such a revolutionary idea, because it was not that long ago that it seemed impossible. It was very, very rare for melanated folks to be able to occupy that space. So for little kids, see a representation of someone with darker skin as a doctor, as a lawyer, as president, as, you know, all these things. It's like, oh, I can be that. I know that when we lost Chadwick Boseman, another, you know, devastating loss to cancer, I mean, Black Panther, having a superhero and a story of African superheroes has been incredibly empowering. And so when you were telling that story about Seal and Michael B. Williams, it's like he saw another human, you know, someone in a powerful position, someone living his purpose, just being out there fully himself. And seeing someone else doing it that looked like him or had a similar story to him made him feel like he too could do it. And so I think sometimes it's really abstract, that idea of, like, when you shine your light brightly, you give other people permission to do the same. But sometimes it's literally just in small ways, like, oh, I'm seeing this other person do it who looks like me, sounds like me, comes from the same place I came from, has the same cultural background, whatever, I know I could do it too. You know?
Body types too.
Body type, yeah,
absolutely.
You
got a beautiful singer, what's her name?
Disabled people, trans people.
What's that singer? What's the singer that you listen to and you love her?
Oh, man.
With the flute, the flutist.
Oh, Lizzo.
Lizzo, yeah. Well, and so many now. But yeah, like, just people that are being unabashedly 100% righteously in their love of self. And you can tell the difference, folks, when it's authentic, you know, because there's a joy in it. And they'll also share the struggle in it, you know. But there's a joy, there's a laughter, there's a fun in the love of self, and it's permission, and so that's what we want to talk to you about today. And the thing that I got today is it's so amazing because we're watching a movie with my little girl with my girls the other night, and there's this scene, and all of a sudden there's a woman singing, and she is all done up, looking like America's Next Top Model, right? And then they pan to the crowd, and the crowd looks so ordinary in comparison to this woman singing. And I really had to stop and talk to my daughter about it. And I'm glad I did, because she was like, wow, she was so beautiful. And I had to just, like, break down, like the idea that of what we're being sold as what perfect is.
Yeah.
And in that, the collateral damage is the idea of imperfections. Because if you don't measure up to the idea that's being sold to us of what perfect is, then what you're left with is an imperfection, an imperfection. Yeah. Well, what Spirit told me today is we are in perfection. Mm. We are walking in the state of perfection. I used to think that perfection was impossible until this morning, and now I realize anything else but perfection is impossible. As long as we're breathing, we were made. We are a miracle in creation, recreating itself every moment inside of a larger creation that is recreating itself every moment.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's all I can to attest to. I don't know how big or large it goes from that. But I know that. So from this day forward, I am in perfection. And I will walk in that claim. Like Pan walking through, when you see these movies where people walk through and like the earth gets green everywhere they walk.
Mm.
Well, that is what we have the potential to do, is when we walk in perfection, we actually, everything we touch, everything that sees us, actually feels the difference of the no apology, the sorry, not sorry walk of an individual that understands that that doesn't make me better or than anyone else. It makes me as everyone else, as we are all walking in the state of perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Betsy stood to her feet again. That's the sign that I'm preaching to the choir, and the choir is ready to sing.
Yeah. No, I really appreciate this, because I was just talking the other day about how they're doing studies now that show that social media is actually creating body dysmorphia for people because of all the filters. But there are a lot of people now who, like, don't think that they look good unless they have a filter on, which is literally fake. It's literally false, right? But it's making people dislike their actual appearance. And what I loved, there's a person I follow on Instagram who is a writer and an activist and arguably an influencer, who posted a picture of herself. I guess she went out to an event for the first time in a long time, and she posted a picture of her all, you know, glammed up. And she was talking about the experience of going out, but then she made a point at the end. She was like, I think it's important for you all to know that this is my face after 2 hours of makeup applied by a professional artist and all this stuff. And if you swipe to the next one, you're going to see what I look like every day, you know? And honestly, the older I get, the more I like my face naked. And so she had that photo, and then she had the picture of herself just like on the sidelines of a soccer game watching her kids with absolutely nothing on her face. And I just appreciated that she did that, because like you were saying about the person glammed up on the stage, it's like, I think there's so much, and even about Michael B. Williams, like, we want to cover ourselves so much. Like, we want to cover the things that we think aren't beautiful or aren't perfect, as you say. Like, if it's not smooth and covered over and there's no sign of any, you know, blemish or whatever. But it's interesting because for me, having gone through the experience of cancer that I did, the most beautiful I've ever felt were at two stereotypical times when women, quote-unquote, aren't supposed to feel beautiful. I felt the most beautiful after I beat cancer and was completely bald, and after I birthed both my babies with a soft belly and all the things, because I knew what my body had done. My body had healed itself. My body had created a life and birthed it into the world, and I felt strong and I felt powerful, and that was what made me feel beautiful. And I have always found that to be such an interesting paradox, that in the times when society told me I should feel the least beautiful, I actually internally felt the most beautiful. And then when society told me I should feel the most beautiful, the messages of society actually crept back in, and I didn't feel beautiful enough, even though I was more aligned with those standards than I was before. So I because of what I've been through, I have such an appreciation of aging and appreciation of the scars and the things that we've lived through. And I just hope that for everybody. And I love this walking in perfection of just trusting all the time that we are always, it's all perfect. And we are perfect exactly as we are in every moment, even in the mess, in the scars. Scars make us beautiful. They tell our stories right on our bodies.
I'm in revelation around this right now. Like I said, folks, it literally came upon me this morning, and I'm getting to share it with you now, and just thinking, and how much compression does this idea release? What would you say, Betsy? Like, for me, I'm just getting this sense of like a deep release of compression. And just the concept of it's already imperfection. Like I am already, it's like I'm already arrived.
Yeah.
What if I just walk and do everything from that perspective? Therefore, I'm no longer trying to get somewhere or become something or perfect something. I'm already perfect, bringing perfection to what I do. And therefore it elevates that.
Yeah.
And like, man, this thing will snowball into some really powerful release of compression on my life, of like that I need to be or become or have or do.
I feel like it takes away the shoulds.
Yes, and the shoulds and the coulds and the would-haves, man. Those things, all of those nasty little beasts that are hiding out in our vocabulary and our vernacular. So this is how it resonates for me right now. We'd love to know your thoughts, folks. I woke up this morning, and like I said, we're preaching to the choir. We're preaching to the ready ones. We're preaching to the ones that have been looking for us, and we're looking for you. You see, the one thing I realize about compression is that heaven on earth is not a profitable idea. Heaven on earth is not a profitable idea because there's nothing to sell when you're happy. There's nothing you want to buy when you're peaceful. There's nothing you want to atone for when you're grateful.
Yeah, unless it's something you truly need.
You're like, if you're, there's nothing like that idea of like wanting to like most of the times, like, and thank you for saying that because you could bring it in, but I want you to back it up. When you're fully in a moment of peace, what do you really need?
No, I mean like food or shelter or...
I don't know. There's people that don't buy
companionship.
You see how it's in our disease has to speak itself, and then you don't like it when it does, but then you have to honor like it just spoke itself. Like heaven on earth is not profitable, because when you think of the moment in your life where you were truly peaceful, you weren't thinking of like you're already breathing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you already, we've loved, like, we are very valuable. Like, I've never known not food, personally. Like, I've never known hunger without knowing food was coming.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually coming from a very rich state.
Yeah.
That not everyone, and if most people that have, so, happening right now is, so what I need for this moment, because we're live and we're in real time. And so instead of me getting a dog with a bone is what happens when love knows something happened. And I said, speak, I would like to, did you raise the idea of heaven on earth is not profitable?
I wasn't talking about it in terms of profit. I meant that, like, everything falls away that you don't need.
And in that, there's, in heaven on earth, there's a gifting. There's a reality where, if I have excess, which we all do, every one of us is walking around in a bubble of excess right now. Even if you don't experience your life this way, there's something that you have to give the world that you have it unlimited. Like you see the great painters, the great rappers, the great dancers, the great choreographers, the great script writers, the great builders. You always wonder, how do they still have something left? Like they do one great thing and then there's another one following. The great technological creators, the great entrepreneurs, they keep creating because they are overabundant. It's like Christmas with the elves. You have an elf. You have elves working on some form of your life that you have something to bring, and the more you get to bring it, the more of it you have. Can everyone resonate with that thing right now? I know for me it's meaningful thoughts, remembrance of the grandeur of the imperfected state, the imperfection state that we are. I am walking around. I'm overwhelmed with it. I look at people, and I see greatness. I see amazing. I'm overwhelmed with it. And when I've spoken about it before, it's like when you don't have an opportunity to give it, we actually get backed up, we get dammed up. It's actually a need of ours to have an opportunity to share that thing that we're overwhelmingly abundant in.
Mm-hmm.
So the energy shifted here, and we're going to roll with it, but this is the dynamic nature of like understanding like, I was professing a great ideal in the moment, and the ideal was heaven on earth is not profitable, and that's why it's not being sold. That's why it's actually being interrupted, because if you are actually remembering that you are in a state of imperfection, there's very little things you're going to want to buy. And if you're remembering that you are in heaven on earth, you are going to want to share and receive greatly. And so is everyone else around you. There is so much abundance and there's so much waste that happens in the opposite of heaven on earth. And so this is what we're anchoring in. And I feel like bringing the state of imperfection here present today alive. I want to just stop there because I don't want to spin it.
Can I just add to what you just said, though? Because I feel like what you're speaking about with the heaven on earth is that it comes from a state of enoughness.
Yeah.
That there is enough for everything that we need. Like, I think that what I spoke to was saying, like, I was just speaking because in the current currency, we're collectively using right now. Like, I have this, I will buy that, right? But.
And it's because we're busy. Mm-hmm. We're distracted. But however, in heaven on earth, if everyone was in their role, there'd be people that would want to have their hands on the ground with Mama Earth growing food. There's people that would want to be building structures. There's people that would want to be healing. There's people that would want to be understanding diplomacy and creating structures. There'd be the elders holding council. It's like, there'd be people creating art and magic and medicine. There'd be people that want to spend time with the kids. Like, people wouldn't be doing things because they need to pay bills.
Right.
They'd be doing it because they are enlivened by the opportunity to do it. And when you get to be in the presence of receiving from somebody that's giving,
mm-hmm.
from something that they're meant to give, and that's why they're giving it, and then they're taken care of, like the shamans of the yesterdays,
mm-hmm.
the shamans didn't have to think about food. Food would be left on their front door. They didn't have to be thinking about water. Water would be left on their front door. They didn't have to think about their covering. People would come and fix their covering,
mm-hmm.
because they wanted their medicine people to be about the medicine,
mm-hmm.
so that if they got sick, their medicine man didn't have to say, "Ooh, I might have had the medicine, but I had to fix my roof yesterday. So I'm sorry, I can't help you." So that is a beautiful thing. My phone's ringing. I'm on Do Not Disturb. We must be preaching the truth of love and light here. And so that's the essence, y'all. I just have a deep sadness in my heart, like, and I'm just with it right now because I feel like there's moments where I just want to go for the open pastures. And then the surroundings want to bring me back into the being kept, into the idea that I'm safer being kept than I am how my creator made me to be out in the wild with creation, which I am a part of. And so I'm going to leave with that tenderness today because this is alive and this is live with you. And I'm going to take a couple moments after I get off the air and remember that I am in a state of perfection and walk with that. So anyways, hope you enjoyed today. We love you so much. You have a blessed day and we'll catch you on the next time. See you tomorrow on Wake Up With Love. Okay. All right, beautiful people. Thank you for listening. If you were moved by what you heard today, you know what to do. Like it, share it, spread the love around. Until next time,